Good afternoon, men. They did it again. The last 4 weeks, we've heard four silver-tongued preachers. And then they ask a county seat lawyer to talk. It's hard to follow these guys. But more than that, wait till you hear the subject matter. Hey guys, at each table, there is at least one, maybe two or three books of matches. Would you grab one if it's near you? Open it up. Is the fire marshal in the building? Hope not. And if, would you light the match? Just hold it up for just a moment. Everybody that has a matchbook in front of them? Got them all lit? Now put them out and quit playing with fire. That's what we would have said to our children or grandchildren, would we not? Well, our friend Solomon is telling us today, quit playing with fire. If you would pick up Proverbs chapter 5 from the message on the table in front of you, follow along as I read. Dear friends, pay close attention to this, my wisdom. Listen very closely to the way that I see it. Then you'll acquire a taste for good sense. What I tell you will keep you out of trouble. The lips of a seductive woman are oh so sweet. Her soft words are oh so smooth. But it won't be long before she'll be gravel in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. She's dancing down the primrose path to death. She's headed straight for hell, and she's taken you there with her. She hasn't a clue, men, about real life, about who she is or where she's going. So my friend, listen closely, Solomon says. Don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of her neighborhood. Avoid her. Run from her. Flee from her. You don't want to squander your wonderful life, to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted. Why would you allow strangers to take advantage of you? Why be exploited by those who care nothing for you? You don't want to end your life full of regrets, nothing but sin and bones, saying, oh, why didn't I do what they told me? Why didn't I lead, or why did I reject a disciplined life? Why didn't I listen to my mentors or take my teachers seriously? My life is ruined. I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. Do you know the saying, drink from your own rain barrel? Draw water from your own spring-fed well? It's true. Otherwise, you may someday or one day come home and find your barrel empty and your well polluted. Your spring water is for you and you only, not to be passed around among strangers. Bless your flesh-flowing fountain. Enjoy the wife, men, you married as a young man. Lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose, don't ever quit taking delight in her and her body. Never take her love for granted. Why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills, and he tells it like it is, guys, with a whore, for a dalliance with a promiscuous stranger? Mark well that God doesn't miss a move that you make. He's aware of every step that you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you. You'll find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you in a dead end. Proverbs chapter 5, men, paraphrased, say something like this: the lips of a seductive woman, or an adulteress as we call them today, are sweet like honey, but her words and her actions will soon become like gravel in your mouth. She's dancing toward death, and she's taken you there with her. Keep away from such women, and enjoy, ravish, and become infatuated with the wife that God gave you. You say, well, you know, we are tempted once in a while to maybe lust, commit adultery with our heart, and sometimes even with our bodies. You say, well, how are we tempted? My answer to that would be, in this society, early and often, 24/7, every waking hour. For example, have you looked at any television recently? Sure you have. You know, it's difficult, men, to find much on television that you can sit down and watch with your wife or your daughter or your grandchildren. For example, the new fall programming that's just out, some of the topics that you might have seen. How about Dirty Sexy Money? Have you seen the previews? How I Met Your Mother, Desperate Housewives, Big Shots, Grey's Anatomy, and it goes on and on and on in prime time. I don't have HBO, fellas. I don't have any R-rated channels. But it's embarrassing sometimes to sit down in prime time with your wife, with your daughter, with your grandchildren, and turn the television on. I read in the September 28th issue of The Week magazine that a recent survey of 180 hours of television programming between the hours of 7 and 9, family time, found 2,248 instances of violent, profane, or sexual content, one every 4.8 minutes. How about television commercials? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you were tempted recently to buy a Hardee's hamburger by the white, seductive lady dressed in white, slithering all around the television set to induce us to buy hamburgers? Sex sells everything. Seductive half-dressed women are used to sell cars with present company accepted, television, spas, and you name it. And sex does sell. How about movies? When's the last time you went to a movie with your wife or with your children or grandchildren and weren't embarrassed? For example, some of the current movie titles out here on the bypass are Knocked Up, Good Luck Chuck, Halloween. By the way, Halloween sounds like a rather innocuous movie to see. Halloween is the only movie that has a 10 rating on violence, language, and sex. 10 right across the board. The only movie out here on the bypass. Resident Evil Extinction, Feast of Love, all R-rated with sexual content. Out of the 18 movies out on the bypass that you can watch this week, 11 warn of nudity, profanity, and sexual content. How about videos? World Magazine ranks the top 10 movies and videos each week, and most of them are R-rated because of a major emphasis on sex and vile language. The internet. That would take another whole hour to talk about the internet and what's out there that we probably shouldn't be looking at. But the internet presents another medium where men have instant access to all kinds of garbage that militates against fidelity in our marriages. Again, out of the Week magazine, September 21, about 70% of the visits to internet porn sites come during regular working hours. In surveys, the average worker admits to wasting 2 hours each work day, often by visiting these pornographic sites. What do they do when they're in private at home? And I know you younger guys are probably wondering how a 74-year-old guy knows anything about this at all. Well, there may be snow on the roof, but there's still a little fire in the furnace. Seriously, men, especially you younger guys, there will come a time in your lives when the grass is going to look greener on the other side of the fence. I guarantee it will happen. Paraphrase, you're going to find other women looking better than your own wife. And you're going to be tempted to fool around, to cheat on her, the lady you promised at the altar to be faithful until death do you part. Some experts call this a midlife crisis. I can speak with authority, as could many, if not most, of the older men in the room this afternoon. I recall one particular incident 10, 15 years ago. I was in my office on Saturday night and the phone rang. At the other end was a woman who was a member of our church who called to talk to me because she was having marital difficulties. During the course of the conversation, by the way, she was drop-dead gorgeous. During the course of the conversation, she said this. I'll never forget it. This is not paraphrased. These are her words. All I really need is for a good Christian man to hold me in his arms. Was I tempted? Sure I was tempted. Sure I was tempted, and you would have been too. But you know what? In a brief instant, the Lord brought to my mind my faithful, godly wife that he had graciously given me. Was I wanting to throw that away? Then he brought to my mind my three precious children who had confidence that their father was a man of moral integrity. Then I thought about my testimony in the community. Am I willing to throw that all away for a cheap thrill? And with God's help, I politely ended the conversation and hung up and never talked to or saw that woman again. You say, wait a minute, Jim. I'm too old. I'm too mature. I go to church three times a week. I read my Bible every day. This is not going to affect me. Before we become too cocky about that, let me share with you, over the years, my 48 years in this community, I've had no less than six men that I've ministered with in various Christian organizations, no less than six men that I know about, all of whom have fallen morally. All of men who have been seduced by women, in some cases men, by the promise of sexual pleasure outside of their marriages. As we lit the match a few moments ago, they were playing with fire. And unfortunately, they got burned. Marriages were destroyed. Reputations were tarnished for life. Relationships with children were damaged forever. Christian testimonies were devastated, and most of them are basically shipwrecked today. As Randy Blankenship said to us 3 weeks ago, we are free to make choices, but we aren't free to choose the consequences. These six men, all of whom I still consider friends, made some bad choices. You say, wait a minute, Jim. Everybody's doing it. You know, you turn on late night television, it's a big joke. Cheating, sexual temptation, give it in once or twice, it's a big joke. And you know what? Sometimes it does appear, doesn't it, that the whole culture of our day promotes or condones sexual immorality or permissiveness. For example, if you don't get enough here, how about going to France? Again, an article out of the Week magazine, September 28. Listen to this. Adulterers in France can now enlist professional help in deceiving their spouses. A new agency has been formed that provides clients with convincing cover stories for their trysts, calling their homes with fake emergencies, for example, or sending invitations to imaginary out-of-town events. For an extra fee, the company will also arrange for hotel rooms and romantic gifts for the mistress. The company says its services will actually help maintain marriages because men need a little freedom. No, men don't need a little freedom, man. We need restraint. You know, many people in our contemporary society smile and nonchalantly say, a lot of people indulge in these things and seem to get away with it. And some do, for a while. Furthermore, these activities are more acceptable today than they were back in Solomon's day. Others say, and I quote, life is a game, and the rules are constantly changing. So the verdict is in, sex is fun. so don't take it too seriously. It is true, men, that some well-known people have indulged in sexual escapades outside of marriage and even brag about it, including, unfortunately, men and women in government, Hollywood stars, sports heroes, and even ministers of the gospel. But as believers, men, we are not to conform to the world's standards of right and wrong. We are to be culture changers. We are to be salt and light in a darkened society. How many of you think Coach Tony Dungy is a pretty neat guy? If you don't, you must be brain dead or you haven't been watching the papers. He is one of my earthly heroes. I hope he is yours too. Why? Because he's a great coach? And he is. No. Because he's a man of moral integrity, willing to swim upstream against the tide. Stands tall. If you haven't read his book, Quiet Strength, you want to get it. It's a good, quick read. My son-in-law read it, he said, in 2 nights. In that book, Coach Dungy says, among many other nuggets, I give every one of the teams that I coached a handout entitled, 5 Things That May Get You in USA Today. He says, I list them in large, bold print to grab their attention. 1, alcohol or illegal drugs. 2, being out beyond 1 a.m. 3, driving more than 20 miles over the speed limit. 4, guns. And 5, women you don't know well enough or that you know too well. Smart man, Coach Dungy. Joshua Harris gives us the 10 lies about sexual sin. Men, I'm going to go through them rapidly. 10 lies that Satan tells us, no problem. 1, sin is no big deal. 2, a little sin won't hurt. 3, taking radical action against sin isn't necessary. 4, God doesn't get involved, too concerned about a little compromise. 5, it's my body, I can do what I want to with it. 6, I don't need God's help, don't need your help, don't need the Bible, I can control my sexual desires. 7, I won't experience any consequences for my sin. 8, God is keeping something good from me out there. 9, the pleasure that sin promises is better than God's pleasures. 10, fulfilling my sin will satisfy me as a man. As every man eventually finds out, Satan, the father of liars, promises pleasure but delivers personal, family, and spiritual disaster. Guys, there's some good rules to follow. There are many of them, but here are 4 or 5 that I have tried to follow. I suggest you consider them to safeguard ourselves from sexual sin. 1, never allow yourself to watch anything you wouldn't want your wife, your daughter, or your granddaughter to watch with you. 2, don't allow yourself to be in a location or position where you're going to be severely tempted. For example, guys, never take your secretary to lunch alone. Just a simple example. 3, think about the impact of your temporary pleasure upon your Christian testimony in the community. 4, weigh the damage that your folly will have upon your relationship with your children and or your grandchildren. It is substantial. 5, measure the fleeting moments of pleasure against the potential loss of the godly woman that God gave you. There are some results, men. We can make the choice. We can't choose the consequences. There are results to yielding to sexual temptation. Listen to the verbs in these results. 1, it builds a wall between you and God. 2, it corrodes spiritual insight and perspective. 3, it disappoints those that you really love. 4, it establishes negative patterns for your children and your grandchildren. Remember, men, children rarely rise above their parents, and certainly their dads. Number 5, it plays into Satan's hands and promotes his ways. Number 6, it discourages other believers, other Christians. Number 7, it slows God's work, God's impact in the world in which we live. Number 8, it saddens God when we are unfaithful to that wife he gave us. And number 9, it leads to death, as Solomon says. Also, listen to the wisdom of a well-known speaker and author, Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He summarizes Proverbs chapter 5. Here's what happens when we violate God's laws of purity. If you play with fire, Dr. Wiersbe says, in verses 1 through 6, the experience is initially sweet, but it goes from sweetness to bitterness. Verses 7 through 14, the experience goes from gain, or at least we think it's gain, to ultimate loss. Number 3, verses 15 through 20, the experience goes from purity to pollution. And then finally, the last two verses of the chapter, the experience goes from freedom to bondage. I was talking with my daughter Linda last Saturday night, sharing with her, I was going to be talking to you men today. She says, Dad, I understand the topic, it's very important, but don't forget to tell them about Lance and Laura. Oh yeah, thank you, Linda. Good reminder. In a room this size with this many men, I would be naive to believe there aren't some of us out there that have either flirted with temptation, give in to temptation, and it's still a big problem in your life. There is hope. There is forgiveness. Number 1, by him, by our God. And number 2, there can be forgiveness from your wife and for those that you have sinned against. A few months ago, down at Linda's church in Greenwood, we were privileged to be there for a baptism of a man. The story goes back beyond that. Linda taught with another lady in her school down in the Whiteland school system, and the lady came in and she was all upset because her husband had taken off with another young lady, and she was at home with a 2-month-old baby and had another child as well. Make a long story short, a lot of people began to pray for this marriage, pray specifically for this man, that what he was doing would make him ill. They would have to come to his senses. He would have to come to his knees. He would have to ask forgiveness and ask God's help. End of the story. He accepted Christ as Savior. He was reunited with his wife and with his family. We were privileged to be there a few weeks ago when he was baptized. Now he is leading a Bible study where he works. His wife now works with the Department of Education. She's leading a Bible study where she works. And the father now teaches teenagers in his church in Sunday school. So there can be forgiveness. God is always wanting to forgive us. And spouses can forgive as well. So, in closing, let me just share a couple more thoughts with you. Listen to the covenant marriage author, Fred Lowry, give us some promises that I'm going to challenge you with to go home tonight, as I'm going to do with my wife. My wife's in the hospital down at Clarion North. I'm going to go down there tonight. I'm going to repeat these 5 things to her. I hope you do to your wife as well. Number 1, I will always love you. Remember, guys, love is a choice. I will always love you. Number 2, after God, you will always be my first priority. Number 3, I am forever committed to this relationship, this marriage, and will always work to improve our marriage. Number 4, I will always be there for you. Number 5, I will always be truthful with you. And number 6, I will always be faithful to you. Let's pray, men. Father, thank you for the wisdom of Solomon that gives us these clear words from Proverbs chapter 5 to indicate how important marital fidelity and moral purity is. God, I pray for every man in this room, including myself, that my thought life, my actions, my attitudes toward my wife and toward the opposite sex would be one that would be pleasing to you. Help me, help us to have the courage tonight and go home and sit down with our wives and tell them how we feel about them and pledge again our faithfulness to them as you give us the courage and the strength to do so. We commit this time, this hour, to you, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.